What is up, Jobber Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast. Hope you liked our new little intro that we have going on right there. Like always, Vogel here with the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. What is going on, Face?
How we doing, bro?
Oh, I'm doing good. Excited for this episode. What about you, man?
It's been a great week.
Oh, yeah. I could have said it better myself. We've got wrestling that went on, a lot of good stuff that went down this past week. I bet you guys are all expecting our same old, well, if we're going into Friday Night SmackDown, Wednesday Night Dynamite. No, we're not doing that anymore. Just how there's been some new debuts in AEW, we're debuting a new format. And that's just, we're hitting all the big stories that we think are big. But we'd also love your opinion, too. If you guys have an opinion on what we should talk about, what big stories we should cover for next week, the best way to do it, hit us up on Facebook. We got Facebook at facebook.com/officialjobberclubpodcast. That link will be in the description of the video. But if you're already watching on our Facebook channel, thanks for supporting us. We love it. But we'd love to hear what you guys want to hear next week. You know, if there's something that we missed out or if there's something that developed over this past weekend, let us know. We'll cover it.
Absolutely. I can't stress that enough. I've been sharing it on every stream I do. Every time I even get on my phone, I try to share it. So try to get as many fans out here as we possibly can.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We loved our old format, what we were doing, but it seemed like a little too much at times.
2024.
Yeah, it's time to change it up. Exactly. Yeah, so we're changing it up, but we will probably do a recap a little bit of pay-per-view events when they do come. I know WrestleMania is coming up, so we'll definitely be talking a lot about that.
Do a recap on that.
Yeah, so we'll definitely do a recap, but that'll probably be its own actual episode. We probably won't cover anything more, like any AEW that's gone down or anything like that, because WrestleMania is going to be a two-night event, so there's going to be a lot to cover. A lot to talk about and a lot of predictions going forward, going into the next season, if you would, of WWE. Other than that, I think we're just going to jump right into it. We're just going to start talking about, like we said, some of the big stories, some of the big matches that have come out of this past week, and we'll just jump right into the WWE. Now, we're not going to separate this based on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, any of that. We're just hitting the major storylines. I didn't get anything for NXT this week. I was unfortunately a little bit too busy to catch NXT. Tried to watch some of the highlights, but I just didn't get around to it. So
that's one of the companies. It's hard for me to pay attention to NXT. You know that. I try, but hey, shit happens.
And it's not only that, but it just seems like with WWE, it seems like all of their brands, if you would, are on different channels, different networks at times. I mean, with the exception of SmackDown. Yeah, you got Friday Night SmackDown that's on Fox. You have Raw that's on USA. And you have NXT that's on USA. So, I mean, at least you have two that are on the same channel, but it's just so hard at times. You're flipping through back and forth, and it doesn't make any sense to me. But
should have had them all on the same fucking network, but...
Well, maybe they will when they switch over to Hulu at the beginning of next year. So
I really hope so, because then they can take
not Hulu, but Netflix. Netflix. There we go.
They're going to Netflix because they're on Peacock.
Yeah, they're going to Netflix. They're going to Netflix. Well, I think they said something about all the premium live events will still be on Peacock and things like that. But if you want to watch it live, it will be on Netflix.
I'm gonna have to check that out then.
Yeah. So. Who knows? I mean, I know that, like you said, they have that deal with Peacock, but who knows? That's still up in the air with that stuff. But yeah, we're kicking off into WWE news. We finally got a response from Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins to The Rock's proposal at WrestleMania 40 with the tag team match of Roman Reigns and The Rock taking on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, with the stipulation being if Cody and Seth win, the bloodline is to not be ringside for Cody and Roman's match at night two of WrestleMania.
But what if he loses? So if he loses, he's just fucked.
I think regardless, he's fucked. Honestly, I think. I mean, what did I text you last week? Last Friday night when I seen that shit was going down. I mean, I had a big theory on this, and you said, "Dude, you got to say it on the podcast."
Yeah, you got to say somehow, it somehow, some way.
So Jobber Nation, this is the bold prediction right here.
This here is from Nick Vogel himself. He told me the other day. What he was talking about. Every time I've called something and I've said it, something's happened the same damn way. So Vogel, floor's yours, Mike's yours. Go ahead.
All right, Jobber Nation, hear me out. I mean, I might be a little late to this maybe, but at the time of, you know, when I talked to Face about this during off time of recordings, I could see Seth Rollins turning heel during Mania. I don't see it necessarily happening night one at the main event. I see it happening probably during the Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes match. I can see somehow, some way, the bloodline interfering and getting the ref distracted, trying to go after Cody. They're going after Cody, beating him up pretty good. And next thing you know, Seth Rollins comes out with a steel chair or whatever, coming out to try to help Cody. But then again, he's turned on the Shield before to join the corporation. I could see this.
I don't know. I could see. I could see him change. A little bit ago, it was a video say. It was Cody Rhodes saying, "I don't know if I can trust him." Blah blah blah. But fuck it, let's do it. And I was like, "Exactly, dog. I don't know if that was the attitude you should go in with that."
But then again, like I said too, I think during those messages, The Rock is part ownership in TKO, so he's officially all of their bosses pretty much. And he told Cody Rhodes that, "I'm going to do everything in my power so you don't win." And then he threatens Seth Rollins' heavyweight championship by saying he could strip Rollins of his heavyweight championship if he wanted to. So it's more or less, hey, come with me. I'm not going to strip you of your championship. If you turn on Cody, you can still have it, be part of the bloodline, or work with us, or do something.
Right.
But Roman's going to retain. So I could see it possibly happen. Who knows? I mean, it's crazier stuff's happened.
You put it out there. Say it.
Well, I mean,
it's going to happen.
I'm saying it with my chest. It's going to happen. but no, we've seen crazier stuff at Mania. We've seen crazier title changes. It's, you know. I mean, plus Seth Rollins has had the heist of the century already at WrestleMania 31, so
this is very true.
He could possibly pull off something crazy. So I mean, that's what I see happening. Like I said, I don't see it happening night one. I think they get the win, and I think something happens where something comes down and the bloodline does come out. Because you know those stipulation matches, if the bloodline was banned, you know, they never follow through with those.
Yeah,
those are just
they've never followed through any bans from the ring. What do you mean?
Exactly. Yeah, they never followed through with any of that. So I mean, it only makes sense that it happens. So yeah, that's I'm throwing that out there. I see that happening night two.
All right, Vogel, call it.
Yep, I'm calling it. I'm calling Roman Reigns the retain. I don't know why. I just don't know why. I hate this bloodline storyline. I think it's probably gonna last. If they do have him retained, it's only going to last until SummerSlam. Then I see him getting dethroned, because that's the last biggest show of the year. That's the last biggest like actual show of the year besides, well, Survivor Series. But
yeah,
still, I think that's what's going to happen. I don't see him losing it at Hell in a Cell, even though that would be nice. Ooh. Isn't that where all storylines go to die?
This is very true. This is true.
A Hell in a Cell match for the Universal Champ. The Universal Undisputed. Yeah, Roman's retaining. Yep, I got it. Yeah, it has to happen then. It has to end that way.
Guys, you hear it first from Vogel. I'm going to lie. I don't want to agree with you, but I can see it happening that way as much as I'm so tired of this fucking storyline.
The story ends at Hell in a Cell, I'm pretty sure, because I think that one's in July now, so that's right before SummerSlam. Then you'll enter SummerSlam with a new champion, fresh start. I could see it happening.
I could see it happening too, bud. And I don't want it to fucking happen.
Yeah, me neither. Exactly. But I think it would probably make for the better finish, though, because if you look at it, Cody's the underdog in this situation. He's pretty much always been the underdog. Even when he came back to WWE, and yes, I think they're gonna still make him try to earn it somehow, some way, but I don't think it's gonna be at Mania. the more I sit and think about it, I don't think it is. We also know another WrestleMania match. That is Becky Lynch will be taking on Rhea Ripley for her Women's World Championship at Mania. Do you think that this is the best possible matchup for Rhea? The best possible match for Rhea to lose her championship?
Rhea's not losing. I'm sorry. Rhea's not losing. They're not going to do that to her. They're not going to do that to her.
I don't think so. I don't think they will because, I mean, honestly, her biggest going into this, I'm not mistaken, Jobber Nation, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but her biggest actual title match that she's ever had at Mania was during the pandemic era, and she lost because she was a contender. I think she was challenging Charlotte Flair for her championship.
I vaguely remember that.
And we thought that was the end of Rhea Ripley. We thought she was going to be pushed back down, and we were all mad about it. You know, we thought that was like her only chance to shine because that women's roster has been and always will be stacked. So, I mean, for her to get that push again, we were all excited for it. And I think, honestly, the best chance, I think this is the best matchup. Best matchup, why is that? I think that they could have booked for WrestleMania for Rhea Ripley.
Yes.
Because you're going to have a lot of heat between those two. I mean, especially Becky Lynch already having her WrestleMania moment at WrestleMania 35 when she walked out double champion. It's going to be crazy because I think, I mean, regardless of who they have winning it, I wouldn't be mad regardless. I mean, Becky Lynch, she's a hell of an athlete. She's a hell of a competitor. I've always liked her. Rhea Ripley, she's the same way. She reminds me a lot of China too. And it's just like, I think she needs to hold on to that just a little bit longer.
Maybe for the rest of the year, I could see, because I know they're looking to make new lines, storylines and shit. I could see her keep for a little longer.
Yeah, here's how I look at it. Like, WrestleMania, I feel like, is the one that that's like the end of the season. That's like the season finale. And then Backlash starts the new season pretty much for me. That's like when the new story, that's where you start to get a little bit new storylines. You're starting to finish off the old storylines still, but there's still some new ones that are starting to come up. But it's just like, I don't know. I think that Becky does have a chance because she does have the submission moves.
Right.
She does have the ground game a little bit more, and it would be easier for her to probably get Rhea, but Rhea's just so strong overall, too. So, I mean, it has to look believable for me. If they book it, it has to look – well, I mean, not if they, but when they're writing it.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I can't just have Becky just go out there and hit her with some move that – like the finger poke of doom type shit in WCW. I can't have her do that and have her retain, or not have her retain, but have her switch hands like that. No.
Right.
If they're gonna switch hands right there, I'd like to have it be believable, and like like the disarmer or something like that. That would be all right. But if she does like a suplex or whatever, and then pins her, no.
Right.
Drops one F5 in 6 seconds and covers you for a pin.
Drop an F5. I want to see it. Speaking of an F5, guess who's coming back?
I heard that Brock Lesnar is supposedly coming back.
Brock motherfucking Lesnar.
Because apparently his name has been cleared out of those allegations, allegedly. So they are starting to face him back in.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Everything is all alleged and that stuff. And I think we have a little bit to talk about that a little bit later on. But yeah, so you say Rhea doesn't lose her championship at Mania.
I'm sorry.
That's what I said you're saying that Rhea doesn't lose her championship at Mania.
Oh yeah, no, she's not losing. She's not losing. I put between me and you, I'll put 5 on it.
You got 5 on it?
Got 5 on it. Oh god. Oh, thanks for aging me, fucker.
Hey, you're the one that said you had 5 on it.
I was literally just listening to like 2002 music the other day. I'm just like, God, I'm old.
That's a memory lane right there. Like, I know.
That's a throwback.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. Other news in from WWE, we got word from not only SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis, but Raw General Manager Adam Pearce, that at WrestleMania 40 we'll be having a six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships.
Huh.
I mean, that's a lot of action going on in the ring. I know you'll probably be skipping that match. I don't see them actually really having this on the main card, though. I don't see where you would put a match that takes that long on the main card, where especially you have what it's supposed to be only they're splitting into 2 days. WrestleMania, the first night gets over around 10:30, almost 11 probably. And it
I'd
starts
say
at 8.
probably
So that's
later
a
than that.
yeah. Well, I mean, it's night one. They always do well, it might because it's Saturday. Because yeah, Saturday you might run a little bit longer. So they might be able to fit it on the main card. I was thinking maybe have it instead of the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. Have it on the pre-show. Because I mean, honestly, what do you get if you win the Andre the Giant Battle Mor Memorial Royale? You just get this trophy. That's all you get. You don't get like a title shot or anything. So it's not like it's a big thing if it's going to be missed. I mean, if you take it out, it's not going to be missed. So I'd rather have it right there. But then again, it is for a championship and it is for the undisputed tag team championships. So they might find a spot for it on the card. I honestly missed this because I didn't get the chance to watch the actual live version of Monday Night Raw. I was able to watch the highlights of it because of work and all that. But you're the one that brought it to my attention. I just thought it was kind of stupid to have it for the tag championships like that. I don't
Right.
like it, the idea of that for the tag team titles. I mean, yeah, you can make it a case with, back in the day with the Dudleys, Hardys, and Edge and Christian when they went out in a ladder match for championships, but it just seems nowadays it's just too many people in the ring. And it doesn't seem like you're getting those oh shit moments like you had back then that kept you interested, that kept you locked in. But who knows? I mean, we have of course one tag team already, and that's being Finn Balor and Damian Priest by default because they are champions. But we will be getting five more teams entering in that not Battle Royale, but that tag match. And the qualifying will begin actually this week on SmackDown. Now, I know that this is going to be at Mania. So I think we're going to be having a build-up all the way until Mania where you're going to see teams getting announced slowly. And I think the week before Mania, that Friday night going into Mania, I don't think we'll have a final team announced. I think there'll be a mystery team.
I think, yeah, exactly. I was just gonna say that. Sorry, my brain's like all over right now.
Oh
Can I
no,
get
you're good.
everything?
No, you're good.
You are apt. I think they're gonna wait
Until the day of Mania.
a day or even seconds before, like they've done before,
Oh yeah.
years and years
When that
ago.
music hits, yeah.
It's just the
WrestleMania
music.
33. Yup. And I think they're gonna do something like that. And I think honestly, there's something that I think that could possibly happen. And we'll get into that a little bit later because I'm going to leave you guys on a cliffhanger for this. I'm going to make you guys, anticipate this because you guys are going to forget it when we're starting to talk about other stuff going on. And then when I tell you guys about it, you're like, oh, okay. So we're just going to leave a little bit of a hit surprise for you guys. That's a little surprise for me to Jobber Nation.
All right. Well, you said it.
And other WWE news, you mentioned it with Brock Lesnar returning in the next few weeks, hopefully. But according to Tim Marshman, Brandon Thurston, and John Pollock of the Front Office Sports, the identities of the unnamed corporate officers in the Vince McMahon lawsuit for alleged sexual assault and trafficking have been named. They are the follows: Corporate Officer One, Nick Khan, who is the current WWE CEO. Corporate Officer Two, Brad Plum. Corporate Officer Three, Stephanie McMahon. Corporate Officer Four, Brian Nurse. Now, none of these people I mentioned, I mean, now all these people that I mentioned are innocent until proven guilty, including Vince McMahon. These are all allegations
Absolutely.
at the moment. But this goes back to a question I asked, I think, on last week's episode, if I'm not mistaken. If, in fact, these allegations are true, what do you think happens to Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon? Especially Nick Khan being the CEO.
Man, I think, I'm not really sure what to...
I mean, what does it force TKO to do? Because I know that they said when these allegations first came out that there's possibility of them wanting to separate ties of anybody named in this report. You know, if anybody's name comes leaked out in this report that was linked with Vince McMahon to this situation.
Right.
So it's like, do they fire Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon? Because I know Stephanie actually, she, I think, sold a majority of her shares of the company a few years ago. So I don't know if she was expecting shit to hit the fan already and then starting to try to get out and try to, you know, get out that way or what. But it just, I don't know where they go from here. I know that you're starting to see a lot of WWE starting to try to separate themselves from Vince also. I guess from what I heard, I haven't played it yet, but I guess in WWE 2K24, there is a...
They do not have Brock Lesnar in it.
They do, but they don't. He's not a playable character, but he's actually in the game as like a storyline character, but you can't play as him.
Well, that's fucking retarded.
They might with a new update. Who knows? But anyways, I guess there's a cut scene of like an actual taping of like a pay-per-view or like a Monday Night Raw or whatever, and they blurred Vince's face out.
Wow.
So there's no...
They are really trying.
Yes.
They're really trying to get the hell rid of him, huh?
So that also leads to my next question, too. Could we see on Peacock coming up episodes edited where Vince is in these weekly episodes and these pay-per-view episodes? Could you see these segments being edited out?
I mean, they want
to... Especially, I mean, I'm just saying, they did it already with something, but that was a lot of different circumstances with the Chris Benoit situation. But still, I mean, if they want to distance themselves from you, they will distance themselves from you.
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
it doesn't
yes.
matter. But yeah, I think it's crazy. And if these allegations are true, I think, in my opinion, you got to start cleaning house, though. That's the only
You're
thing
not
that
wrong.
You can do.
You're not wrong. I mean,
because if it happened with Vince, who says it's not going to happen with somebody else that has all this power and control? And that's not that Triple H would do something like that, or HBK. But what if somebody under them, you know, was to, you know, do this exact same situation? You know, you need to stop it. And you need to stop it with anybody that had contact
right.
in this situation. And that means, unfortunately, that the product going forward might look a little different, but if it does, you know, it's not going to be the end of WWE. Let's just put it that way. WWE was ran long before Vince came into power, and it'll be ran long after Vince is well gone.
You're not wrong, but with Vince, wasn't him and his dad the two main owners or whatever the fuck?
Well, his dad owned it before him.
Yeah, so then why would he just go be an idiot and fuck everything up?
Because I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think what we've seen in the Attitude Era with him portraying this, you know, persona of like this asshole, I think at a point it wasn't even a persona. It was just him being actually who he is. You know, in the stories of that we hear of Vince, you know, it's like, yep, I could see, you know, with him that. Like, he has to, like, the story of, like, he has to eat before anybody else eats. He has to be finished before everybody else, before anyone else can eat. No one could sneeze in his presence, things like that. It just adds up, you know. It's just one thing after another. But I think, in the long run, I think they are going to try to distance themselves even more from him. So I don't know what that will be. But I think that, like I said, they are starting already with the latest 2K game.
Right.
We're moving on to a little bit of a lighter subject matter. Sheamus has exited the social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter. This coming after the WWE superstar hasn't been seen on TV since last August when he lost to Edge in Toronto.
Ooh, you're not even wrong. I didn't even think about that.
Sources say that he has been dealing with a quote-unquote really bad shoulder injury that has seen him out of action for a better half of 7 months. There are now questions if his contract is close to expiring or if he's going to retire. Sheamus, who turned 46 this January, might not have many years left in tank. Dealing with recent injuries doesn't help also increase his in-ring lifespan either. So what do you think's next for the Celtic Warrior? Do you see him retiring, or do you see his contract possibly being up with the company? Do you see him going elsewhere maybe?
I could see it because everybody else is.
Yeah, I mean, and
I mean,
honestly, I mean,
I don't blame him. I probably would bail too.
and plus it seems like AEW is the place to go because you can go get paid top dollar and tell them I want to work up a part-time contract. I want to have X amount of days off of you. And I'm like, all right, we'll work with you that way.
Right.
I think that's honestly probably the reason why Edge signed with them too, is because he was granted so many off days. He doesn't have to be on the road as much. He's still making decent money.
Right. Oh yeah, and I'm sure he's what, 50 now, 50 something, or late 40s, early 50s, whatever.
Sheamus is 46. Yeah, but Edge is in his, I think, early
Yeah,
50s, I want to say.
he got kids if you hold.
But just imagine too, if Sheamus does decide to jump ship and does even go to AEW, we could see him possibly return with his former tag team partner, Claudio Castagnoli, formerly known as Cesaro,
Ooh.
and do like a formation of the Bar. But they're still gonna be with Blackpool Combat Club. That'll just be like their tag team in the faction, the ones that go after the tag team championships.
Right.
I could see that happening. Or there could be this part too. And 9 times out of 10, it is this part. We're just overlooking and we're just overreading into this entire situation.
I mean, it could be. We always do, so.
That's the entire internet wrestling community. We always overread into everything. So
Well,
I mean,
buddy,
it could just be him.
you just called something out back to WWE for a split second. You called all that out the other day. I told you to throw it on here. And every time me or you say something about the show or about something, guess
It
what?
sticks.
You're throwing shit at the wall and it's gonna stick.
But yeah, I think, or it could be just him just taking a break from social media also, it could be that. I mean, all of us take a break every now and then just for our mental health and all that. So whatever it is, we wish Sheamus the best of luck going forward. So hope he has a speedy recovery if that is in fact what is wrong, is a shoulder injury. Because yeah, that was Edge's final match in WWE that he wrestled in.
Yeah, I know, and it really bugs
And
me now.
look at it now. Edge has already been with the company for almost 7 months, so oh, probably about 5 months now. So
Right.
all right, before we jump ship to the good old boys down in Jacksonville, Florida, with AEW, we got some bills to pay. I want you to know that this episode is sponsored by Dubby.
Doobie.
Dubby. W's Zero Crash, zero artificial energy drink that you can make from home. They got lots of great flavors to try, such as Dub Sludge, Galaxy Grenade, and their limited release flavor, Pom Blum. Are you not sure what flavor to order? Don't worry, W's got you covered with a sampler pack. What's in a sampler pack, you ask? Well, they give you 5 single serving packs. Those are 3 W energy drink packs and 2 of W's hydration packs, which include no caffeine. And you also get a cool shaker cup to help you blend your drink.
Hey, how much temper? You say 10% and 15% off on that, because
Well,
I might even use that little code there and give me a little bit of some.
since you said that, I mean, if they're still not sold, as a special thanks to our listeners, W is offering 10% off. For our listeners only. You know what you gotta do? Just enter code NATION2023 at checkout. That is NATION in all caps, followed by 2023. Because at W and at Jobber Nation, we strive to be better. All right, we are moving on to those good old boys, like we said, down in Jacksonville with AEW. AEW has made some big splashes, dude, this past month, honestly, with free agent signings, with the addition of Will Ospreay to their men's roster last week. Well, 2 weeks ago, honestly, because he made his debut at the Revolution. And but this week on not this week, but last week on Wednesday Night Dynamite, they introduced their new men's signing with Kazuchika Okada, formerly of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And honestly, if you go back to the episode that we had before AEW's Revolution, we said that we were hearing that Okada was going to be debuting at the Wednesday night episode after Revolution. And yeah, that was correct. So I'm definitely excited that it happened. I figured that it might happen, but I wasn't trying to get my hopes up because you know how, you know, you read all the information, you research all of this stuff, you just, you know, there's chances are that you're going to be wrong a handful of times every now and then. And to see him debut and see him become part of the Elite is pretty awesome because they need to do something, and I think this is the right thing to do with the signings of Will Ospreay and Okada. It's definitely boosting the men's roster up even a lot more than what it has been. And like I said, with the injury to Kenny Omega, it definitely adds more firepower in their men's roster. Two main event guys that they can interchange. So it's definitely good for them.
Right. I apologize. I am talking to a few more people that might be able to help the show a little bit more. We can get some more into it, you know. So
Okay.
I'm a little distracted, but I am full 100% ear.
He's doing a little bit behind the scenes work
I'm doing
as
behind the scenes, never-ending cycle, okay?
he's wearing all the hats today. He's doing Jamie the producer. He's being, you know, got our own Jamie from the Joe Rogan podcast. But yeah, we like I said, last week we had Okada, and then he ended up having his first match this week on Dynamite. And what was also crazy about this week's Dynamite, you also seen the debut of not the boss, but the CEO, Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks.
I'm glad she I'm not really glad. I'm okay, so here it is. I'm glad that she found her home. She I don't know who Cam is. Kill it, like you mean Killa Kill? But I'm glad she found her new home. I knew she was getting tired of WWE's bullshit. And
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, whatever company you work for, there's always going to be highs and lows. But I feel like she just kept getting the shit under the stick a lot lately. Maybe last. When's the last time she had the fucking belt?
it's been a while since I think she
Yes,
actually
it's
had the
been a while
belt.
since she had that belt.
And when she left, I know she didn't really leave on good terms either. I mean, I know there's parts and times in which she was on social media pretty much like bad mouthing the company and all that, and like throwing subtle shades that she's done with the company, all this, all that, just taking time and not like just taking time off and not showing up to any events, you know, requesting
Oh
time
yeah.
off and just not wanting to be there anymore. I think she just got into like that rut where she was just like, I'm doing the same shit over and over again. Like everybody does with a job, you know, you get stuck in that rut and you're like, man, is this company even worth it anymore? Can I go someplace
Right.
else? What's my options other places? And I think she found that when she got released from WWE. I think she found that in Japan, and I think she really found her stride and
She
fell in
found
love probably again. She fell in
her.
love with the sport again. Let's just put it that way.
Just take the words out of my mouth,
Be
man. Go on.
because it's like that old saying, you know, when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And I
Bro, I
think
keep
that's
saying
what
this every, that's literally, I say
Yeah,
this every single day of my life. If you love what you
it's
do,
just
you're never gonna work a day in your life.
exactly. And that's why I figure, like, you know, even though we do have other jobs outside of this podcast, you know, I figured that this
Eventually, this will
is
be our show, and
exactly.
we'll
But
I already have a lot of things going on up here for us, bro. It's
But it's just like I love what I'm doing here, and I don't consider it as a job, even though it is taking time out of here. I'm not getting anything out of it yet, you know. It's still what I love to do. I think that's what she found. I think she found that in Japan when she was wrestling dates over there for New Japan. And I think what made it better too was they kind of did like what, I don't know if you remember when CM Punk debuted for AEW, but when they were in Chicago, they didn't have any announcers really talk. And then they were just panning over the crowd, and it was all everybody like all, you know, excited and stuff like that. But the only difference is in Chicago, they were chanting CM Punk. And then he, next thing you know, they pan up to where it said Dynamite and stuff like that. And it showed, and then they panned out to show the entire crowd. They did that exact same thing for Mercedes Moné. And I didn't even realize that I forgot totally that it was in Boston until I seen the live from Boston little thing in the right hand corner. You know, and I was like, okay, you know, as soon as I seen that, I said, Mercedes Moné is on a debut. And next thing I hear her new music. I haven't heard it before. And I hear her music. I was like, that looks like something that she'd come out to. And next thing you know, I see money coming down. I was like, and it says CEO. I was like, wait, she wasn't known as the CEO. She was known as the boss, you know? And she starts walking out. I was like, holy shit, she's actually here. And I actually like the signing. I'm not going to lie. I like the signing for AEW. Because not only, like you said, she found like her quote-unquote home, but I think it's also...
found herself again.
Well, not just that, but that's also another vet that you added to that women's locker room.
Yes,
that women's locker room is only going to get stronger because of that. And I think... because I think Tony actually did a good job. I mean, yeah, he did sign two men to the men's roster, but I think he did a good job in getting the best free agent available for the women's roster. I mean, yeah, Jade Cargill. Yes, a lot of people said Jade Cargill was the best free agent, but yeah, she does have an upside. But if you're trying to build your roster around veterans, you need someone like Mercedes Moné.
You're not wrong.
And it's going to be fun, too, because if you look at it, that AEW women's roster room has a decent amount of veterans, because you still have Serena Deeb that's still wrestling, and you have Mercedes Moné, Thunder Rosa Ponderosa, Saraya, Ruby Soho, and then you also have Toni Storm, too. And they're going to be helping out the younger one. I mean, yeah, Toni Storm is still on the young side, so is Ruby Soho and so is Saraya. But they've been in the business for over 15 plus years, all of them. And you're going to be helping out Julia Hart, Sky Blue, legit Layla Hirsch, who we have not really seen on AEW television. We've only really seen her on Ring of Honor. And then Abaddon, who's in the exact same boat. They're going to be helping out that next generation. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be really exciting to see. And I'm actually excited to see where this women's roster is going to be at next year. To see how much improvement over a year into the Sasha Banks contract, you know, see if she's actually helped at all.
I think she will. I think it's going to help her a lot, to be honest with you.
And And I don't know if you watched the end of Dynamite this week or seen like any clips of the end of Dynamite. The main event had women's main event, I do believe. And what happened was one of the wrestlers was Willow Nightingale, who actually had a feud with Sasha Banks, and she won her New Japan championship, I think, off of her. So they have history. So they ended up having a match against Sky Blue, I do believe it was. And at the end of the match, I think Sky Blue ended up winning. I can't remember if memory serves me correct. I think she ended up winning. No, she ended up losing. She ended up losing, that's right. And Julia Hart comes out with the TBS championship. And she, you know, she's thinking, you know, she's going to challenge Willow for it or whatever. Start a fight with her, and Mercedes Moné came out to do the save on Willow, and she was looking at Julia Hart, who was a TBS champion, so she might go into a feud with either Willow or even Julia Hart, which would be interesting to see.
Huh.
But I think her first opponent would probably be Willow Ganigil. Yeah, like I said, man, when we were talking, I think last night it was, with these last few shows that AEW has actually been putting on, even going back to the pay-per-view, it's actually been making me more excited every week.
Yeah, you are for AEW.
I mean, not just because of the debuts, but it seems like they're starting to hit that edge a little bit. I mean, it might not show in the ratings right away, but their product has actually been pretty decent going forward. And I know
that's what you were saying, and I kind of watched it a little bit the other night. Like, I think it was just a couple videos on Facebook or some shit. I don't even know. But, I mean, I was like, oh, maybe I might end up getting back into AEW again. Cause
yeah, I mean,
I felt like it was a shit company there for a minute.
I mean, they still got a lot of improvement to do. But, I mean, it's, like I said, these latest signings are going to do a lot. But I think, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, I think something needs to change up a little bit more with AEW. And I think there might be a solution for it, but who knows? More news with Adam Copeland and Christian Cage will be fighting in an I Quit match next Wednesday night,
I think,
in Toronto for the TNT Championship.
Adam Copeland's winning. I'm putting my money on him. But,
well,
shit. There might
be. I mean, you got. There's going to be interference. There's going to be interference by the family. So, you know, Nick Wayne's going to be there. Killswitch is going to be there. And Nick Wayne's mom's going to be there. So it's like Adam Copeland's going to be, and it's an I Quit match. So, I mean, anything goes.
I really don't think Adam Copeland's going to quit though, bud. I can't see it happening.
You saying he's got that dog in him?
I mean, do you see how much dog he had in him over the years? You know what? Hey,
yeah.
You called your little spiel earlier Adam, a.k.a. Edge. Wait, AFK. There you go. AFK.
FK.
Whatever. Edge. Whatever the fuck. Adam Copeland is going to win, okay? I'm going to put that on there because I don't see him quitting. And if he does, let's riot. Let's riot, well, AEW.
I'm looking something up for you real quick because I just want to make sure if I'm right or whatever because I can't remember.
You're going to tell me that he's going to lose and he's going to quit. And then somehow
the reason why.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But
Okay, I was almost right. So I was about to say, you want to know the last I Quit match that he had and where it was at. It was actually a last man standing match, and that was against Randy Orton at WrestleMania 36.
Oh, I was going to say like Hell in a Cell and, or some shit like
and
that.
Edge beat him. So, I mean, that's the closest thing that he's had to an I Quit match in the last, you know, since he's returned from his neck injury.
Huh.
But yeah, we also seen something that was crazy because to build up this fight for next week, Adam Copeland came out of the stands and attacked, well, not really came out of the stands, pulled Christian Cage into the crowd with him and started beating him up. Not only did that happen, but we also seen Copeland then get into the ring with a large box. And all the box said on it was Spike. And he opened it up, and no one knew what was inside the box. Except for whoever standing on the apron. So Christian Cage seen what was in the box, and he didn't want nothing to do with it. It just felt like, everybody on, especially in the wrestling, internet wrestling community, has been like Brad Pitt off of Seven.
What's in the box?
I've seen that movie.
Well, it's a movie. Yeah, I had to send you a TikTok. You'll get the reference then after that. But, dude, we're just thinking of what the hell's in the box. We hope it's just not like, what was it, Rowan's spider that he had a few years ago.
Right.
You got any predictions on what's in that box?
I don't know. It's got to be something that scares the shit out of Christian.
See, I was thinking I had a crazy theory, but I'm not gonna say that when I said one
No,
crazy theory
say
already.
it, say it, say it. Throw it out
All
there.
right.
It's a crazy universe. Shit happens.
I was thinking, since it is a I quit match, anything goes, no DQ. I'm thinking past. I'm thinking there was a name that was on that box. That name was Spike.
Huh.
Now, Spike Dudley doesn't wrestle anymore. He's fully retired. Devon's supposed to be fully retired. Could you see for one night only
But if they bring back
Devon and
one,
Bubba?
they got to bring back both. It's not a
No,
one.
that's what I'm saying.
It's not a one
That's what I'm
thing.
saying.
It's a. You got to
Yeah.
have both.
So
Fuck. Bring it.
Devon and Bubba Ray, one night return only. And
Fucking
they
say
come
it.
and
I agree.
they rescue Edge, and he pins Christian for the championship.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes. You know
That's
what? Fuck
honestly
it.
what I was thinking, dude. I was thinking, because why else would you put Spike on there? What else is gonna be there? Unless it's gonna be Gangrel too, because a Spike kills a vampire, and they were the Brood.
Oh my God, dude, you I
There's
feel
so
like
many
you went
angles that they could go.
no, you went like deep. You were BD,
Dude,
aka balls deep into that. Like,
I'm out here playing like 3D chess, and all these other people are playing checkers.
okay, Andrew Tate, calm down. Although I'm not gonna lie, I do like Andrew Tate. There's some of his shit I'm like, oh, dude, that actually makes sense. Some of it, in my
I'm
opinion,
more like his
doesn't. So
brother. I think his brother makes a little bit more sense than he does.
they, I mean,
Tristan.
they both are pretty damn good, but each their own.
But
I'm not gonna
they're
argue
still a
with
little
you.
out there. There's still a lot out. There's still, way out there though. At
But hey,
times.
fuck it.
But sometimes they're dead on some of the things. I mean, it would be a nice callback to that TLC match when it was with, Edge and Christian and the Dudleys,
No,
It'd be a nice
time
little
out,
callback.
time out, time out. No, no,
And
no. Better not fucking forget that team. You already know. You better
the
not forget the fucking Team
Hardys
Extreme.
and the Hey, they were also known as the Brood at one point in time too.
Ooh, yeah, way back in the day, though.
Before Edge and Christian.
Yeah. Ooh. Please don't do that to me. Because I've been really missing Matt and Jeff. They need to come back. Take the titles and just be like, okay, we're done. We're done. No
But you know
more.
what, dude? You know what? What if in that box is actually a piece of string? And you pull that piece of string,
And it goes
and it
to another
reveals a
box.
no. And it reveals a little compartment that has a picture of Christian, an embarrassing picture of Christian at
Oh, shut up. Okay, you SpongeBob freak.
the AEW Christmas party.
I love it.
Oh man.
I'm not
But
mad at
I
you.
mean, I just hope that we whatever it is, he actually either reveals it or uses it, because I'm still want to know what's in the Pulp Fiction briefcase, and I still want to know what the hell's in Shane McMahon's lockbox. Those are things that we never have answers
Wow, bro, stop it. You're aging me, fucker.
to. We still haven't found out. Hey, you know what was in those lockboxes? That lockbox of Shane McMahon's? All of Vince McMahon's NDAs they signed.
You are fucking aging me. Can you stop?
No, I'm just saying all of those NDAs that he signed with all of his victims, allegedly.
Jesus, bro.
That's probably what it is. Other AEW news, Kenny Omega was fired from the Elite and was replaced by Okada. It seems like Kenny Omega is once again outside looking in when it comes to being in that faction. Then again, Omega, like we said, has been out with injury and has been on TV for a few months. Do you see him realigning with Don Callis and the Don Callis family when he returns? Or do you see him just saying, screw it, I'm going to do my own thing, focus on myself, and go after that AEW championship?
I think he's gonna say, fuck it, this is my time to shine.
Honestly, I do too. because we haven't seen a real good Kenny solo run. He's always been around somebody since he's got there with the Elite, really. He's won the tag team championship. He's won the AEW championship a few times. I think it's just honestly, he just needs to go after it again, and he needs to do it by himself. I think that's the only good thing for him to focus on right now, because I don't think he needs to get caught up in all that. But I'd love to see an Okada, Omega, AEW fight, because we've seen it in New Japan plenty of times.
Yes.
But for the people who aren't aware of Okada and how he was in New Japan and how that rivalry was with Kenny Omega, it was something of it was real, real good. And I think people need to go and watch some of that stuff, because that's what could happen in AEW with those guys. And I hope that it does lead to something like that.
Yes. Right. I would like to see him get his own opportunity.
Mm-hmm. You know? Without having to weasel his way in, like he did with when he was part of the Elite and when he was part of the Callis family. So here's that surprise for you guys. Guys probably forgot all about it, didn't you? Like we mentioned earlier in the WWE side of all the news, I think there will be one opening for a tag team when it comes to the six-pack tag team ladder match at Mania. It has been reported in the last few weeks that it's believed that Matt Hardy's AEW contract could be up soon. There's no details on his brother Jeff's contract status, if that is coming up too. But given how the Hardys have been booked for the better half of a year, I could see them not electing to re-sign with AEW.
Don't do that to me. Don't do it to me.
So
I don't see Jeff going back to WWE though. That's gonna be like, yo, you're gonna pay me X amount of dollars because of all that bullshit you put me through, and then I'll come back.
But I think either
that's
Trips
just
is running it now. Hey, Trips is running it now.
But
Trips wasn't running it back then. That was all Vince's shit.
But still, I would still say, lines. Give me the X amount of dollars that will, and then
I think
me,
if it's I, fi- give me I think a if bet, it's reasonable, like, me, I think Trips will work with them. I think if it's reasonable,
I'd say give me X amount of dollars and like a certain match, like a Hell in a Cell or a Elimination Chamber, some shit like that, and try to push me toward a belt, preferably one of the bigger belts, so I can walk out on top and say I did it. I came back. Yeah, from all the bullshit I was through.
I mean, we have seen them return at WrestleMania 33 when they surprised everybody when they went on that hellacious run. Like, 1 month, they won just about every tag team championship known to mankind. Yes. So, I mean, could you see taking part? Well, if you remember right, too, at WrestleMania 33, that was also a ladder match.
You're not. God damn it, man.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying it. I mean, especially now, I mean, with Jeff, I don't see Jeff going to TNA. I think he burned a lot of bridges coming out of that promotion.
Yeah, he burnt, you know what? TNA was not a good fit for him other than the belt. I really enjoyed how that belt looked because that was super sick and it was different from any other belt. But truthfully, that company fucking sucked. It was so hard to watch them. Other than a couple really good story plots or whatever the fuck they are.
But you had Sting walk out mid-match against you because he didn't get sober and all that. And he said he was sober. And then you had AJ Styles come up to you multiple times and give you an ass chewing in the locker room. And it's just like, I think he burned a lot of bridges. Even though those guys aren't no longer with the company, they still, you know, the story still flows through.
Sometimes you gotta, I say,
I just don't want to see him be like one of those wrestlers that was, you know, one of those, they were good back then, but then they end up wrestling in like GCW or something. No disrespect to GCW. I love Nick fucking Cage. He's fucking good. Nick Gage is fucking awesome, but it's just like, it just seems that's like, that's where they go when they go to die, is like the indie promotions again. Not that like, there's nothing wrong with that, but I just don't want to see him doing that. I want to see him still in the top promotion. And I think that could also happen, them returning to WWE with those championship straps. Maybe that's just one of the promises that he wants, is at least one championship.
Give me one. I wouldn't even say WrestleMania, because truthfully, no offense, he was never really like a WrestleMania.
No, like, he wasn't like a main event. He wasn't. Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, he
like,
wasn't. You're not gonna main event
table
a WrestleMania
with
and
chairs
name.
Type of shit. Like, a little yeah, screws are loose. Let's fucking fight.
Because you're not gonna headline a WrestleMania main event with Jeff Hardy defending a, you know, championship, like the WWE championship.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't one of those main event guys. He wasn't gonna get that draw. No one was gonna be excited. Oh. Yeah, they'd be excited if there was like a high spot.
That
but he, like you said, he's more of a special. Dope. He's more of a specialty match type guy. He's more of like the Hell in a Cell, more of the
like a more of a darker,
table ladder shells.
Like, more of a
yeah,
darker,
he's more
like,
more of a sadistic match style.
Yes,
like
Bray Wyatt.
He likes pain.
I love
he likes
that
pain.
Shit.
Yes, exactly.
Or
like Darby Allin is now too.
Darby Allin, the Demon. Fuck! What is that? Jesus Christ! What's his name?
Finn
the
Balor.
Demon, Finn Balor. Yes, that
except,
one.
Except his shoulder didn't want to stay in place, and
it really sucks because I loved that. That was so fucking mind-blowing seeing that.
Yeah.
I love shit like that. Like body paint, bro. That shit's so sick. The way
dude,
that
I did. You have seen some of his other stuff that he had, like when he was in Japan, didn't you? Like some
I
of the other
don't
like stuff.
No, but I.
If not, I could probably send you something. I'll probably look something up for you and show you something because he did All Out. Like he.
I was always a fan of Jeff
like
Hardy's fucking paint. How he always did it. Like
yeah.
His shit was.
Yeah, he does it crazy too. Like he does like even now he still does his eyelids and stuff. So when he closes his eye, it looks like a face, and then when he opens it, it's his eye and shit. But yeah, it's. It's pretty cool what Jeff Hardy can still do with that face paint.
I am the beard's not going anywhere, but I think I might fuck around with some face paint here soon. I don't know yet. The beard's not going anywhere though, so
it looks like it. You know what might be going somewhere. It looks like it's going somewhere, and it's going somewhere fast. And it looks like it's not going fast in the right direction, and that is Wardlow's push. Looks like it's going to be going downhill from now. Looks like it's going to be cut short. I've seen a lot of people say that they like this match against Samoa Joe. I am not so sure about it because Samoa Joe won via submission, via the Kokita Clutch, like he always usually does, you know? I think having a big man like Wardlow, especially when you built him up, when you gave him this title opportunity by winning that Battle Royale that he won, and just to be like, yeah, we're going to have you lose on submission like that. I'm bigger than him, and I'm stronger than him. There ain't no way I'm going out like a little punk bitch by a submission, you know? If I was Wardlow, I would not. No. I mean, I would agree not to win the match, maybe to set up a rematch down the road, but I'm not losing by submission.
Fuck no. You ain't going to submit
me. I am
me
not
shit.
Losing by submission. Exactly. And I think that's probably. Because we've seen it before with Wardlow, especially when it comes to championships. And he had the TNT championship for a while, but it seemed like after he lost that, he then went back down to relevancy. Now he lost this opportunity against Samoa Joe. Is he going to get pushed back down to relevancy? I know he's with the entire faction with Adam Cole, the Undisputed, whatever they call themselves now. I can't remember what the hell they call themselves. But yeah, he's with them, and it's like, you're just pretty much like how Jake Hager was for Jericho.
Jake Hager,
I
liked Jack Hager when he was in WWE. I loved that. That was super cool.
Yeah.
But when he went to AEW and now where the hell is he?
He's still in AEW, but he's mostly – what he mostly focuses on too is cage fighting. So he's also undefeated in cage fighting. So he'll have like a few fights every now and then. So
I
don't think, I think it's probably in his contract that he can't have X amount of fights and for wrestling, probably just so he doesn't get injured. You know,
I was unaware of that. Can I throw a little something about over the weekend? I know this is a side note and we don't normally talk about it, but you see just for a quick second. My dad bet me the two guys that I had winning was gonna lose. I said, "Dog, you can't bet against my boys. Sugar Shane, that dude." Hey, my money always goes to Sugar Shane. And then Cowboy. Oh God, mm-hmm. Cowboy kicked the shit out of that dude. He was like, "Hey, I'm still back."
Exactly.
But sorry, I just had to.
Oh,
that made my weekend because I listened to it while I was streaming. I was pumped all weekend.
I think honestly that with Wardlow and the situation, how he was given the way he lost it, I think it was probably booking's way of saying, you know, all right, we heard you, the fans. We know you don't want Wardlow in this main event situation. And you guys want someone like Swerve Strickland, because Swerve Strickland already beat Hangman Page like 3 times. He hasn't advanced towards that AEW championship at all. He's been at a standstill. Wardlow wins this battle royale, gets pushed all the way to number one. I think it was their way of knocking Wardlow back down, because I still think that they have the rankings now. They're using the ranking system for the number one contender. So I think right now, if you look at it, I think Swerve Strickland's in that spot now. And I think Swerve definitely deserves it, especially after that promo that he cut not last night, but last Wednesday night.
Right.
And I think they're going to probably have Swerve face Joe. I don't know when, but I'd like to see it happen for that AEW championship. I'd love to see Swerve win it. And I think they're also going to turn Swerve face at that point in time, because he's been heel. And I think him going up against Joe right now, because of how much emotion he's been showing these last few weeks, I think he's going to turn face. And I think that the crowd is already around him and supporting him to go face like that, because he's got everybody like AEW. That's all, like, if you go through like all the message boards lately, Swerve is like really talked about a lot. And I wasn't a big Swerve fan for the longest time, until he beat Adam Page that many times in a row. Then he started to win me over. You know, I could see this guy. I'm like, dude, this guy's going to be next level. He's a future champion. And I think that's going to happen soon. But I think it needs to happen sooner than later, because there's also rumors, since AEW's All In will be at Wembley Stadium in London for the second straight year this August.
Why? Okay, question. Why does it keep going over to London?
That's how they signed, I think, a 2-year contract with Wembley Stadium to have it hosted there. Backstory behind, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to switch it next year or what, but this is pretty much like their WrestleMania. So I don't know. It might stay in London. Who knows? And another reason too is the Khan family that owns AEW. They also own Fulham FC, which is a professional soccer club over in England, the highest English soccer tier. So they try to have games over there. That's why the Jacksonville Jaguars of the NFL have at least one England game almost every year, because the Khan family also owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, along with owning AEW.
Jesus.
Yeah, so... but yeah, I've been hearing that they've been planning on giving Will Ospreay the championship at Wembley, since he is from England. So it would be a little run for Swerve, but it's better than nothing, I think, if that's the way it does go.
Right.
But do you like that idea, though, of having someone that you don't even see fit in the first place, having that number one contender spot by winning like a battle royale? We've seen it before in Money in the Bank in WWE, where they would have someone that was over with the crowd for just a little bit, like Damien Sandow, for example. Well, he was over with the crowd, but he was nothing more than a lower mid-tier slash jobber. And you had him win the Money in the Bank, and then you're like, no, it should have probably went to someone else. So we're going to have you fail cash in, and then we're going to push you all the way back down again.
I'm going to need to talk to you off screen about a couple of things, because I need to either relearn some history or something about wrestling or something, because my brain's just, I don't know. It's just
not. You're good.
I know we're a couple years apart. I knew you were deeper into it than I was when I was younger, when I was like I don't know, 9 and younger. I mean, I had all the action figures and shit, but I only know wrestling because I watched it for about 3 years when I, from like 4 to 7, maybe.
Oh yeah. Yeah, plus I like I said, I retained that shit when I was younger, dude. I used to like love watching that shit.
Oh, did I show you? I don't remember if I. Mm-mm. Oh my god, I did. Oh, hey, give me like 30 seconds. I gotta dig it out. I gotta dig it
All
out.
Right.
So my fiance bought me a while back. I actually think I might try to make a GIF out of this or a meme or a little emote or something, but I fucking. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh Jesus! I gotta dig this out.
Yeah, but it's just going back to a little bit of the Wardlow situation. I'm just gonna take over the episode a little bit while you get your stuff. Going back to the Wardlow thing, it's just they want. I've been hearing rumors that they want, like, the company wants to make him like their version of Brock Lesnar. Like how he's this big guy that wins all these matches. They have kind of the same finisher, except I think Wardlow's is called the F10, I think. They're both real similar in everything. And it's just, I don't think if you're wanting your guy to be the next Brock Lesnar or want to book him as your Brock Lesnar, I don't see him losing that match to Joe. Why would you have him lose that or lose convincingly? Because the Kokita Clutch ain't going to take down someone that's almost a foot taller than you.
Fuck no.
I mean, that's like Rey Mysterio trying to put the Great Khali in a freaking sleeper hold.
I mean, we've seen him kick his legs up underneath how many times?
Okay. How about this? How about this? It'd be like Rey Mysterio trying to put the Master Lock on the Great Khali.
Jesus fucking Christ. Fucking like Rey Mysterios.
But exactly. That's what I'm saying.
For some reason, I completely forgot about this. One of my favorite things my fiance got me back when we started dating. We did this thing, got gifts for each other, but this is what it is. Let me,
Oh, the Hardy Boy. Oh, no, that's D-Generation X Funko Pops.
Yeah.
I'm all exclusives. Hell yeah.
I completely forgot.
A lot of those.
These are.
I used to have one on Macho Man Randy Savage. I think it had like the Slim Jim logos or whatever on the bandana. I know it was a different color than the normal bandana that they had. It was like an exclusive.
Right.
But yeah, I used to have one.
I get a bigger office, I'm probably going to just line my fucking entire office in these. Because. There's many more that I want to get, the big ones, the smaller ones, whatever,
oh, yeah.
And I can put everything everywhere in my office. But I know, guys, we were talking about wrestling and tag teams and figured I'd share one of my favorite ones that I got. Team Suck It.
Exactly, yeah. I got two words for you.
Dude, hey, how much trouble we used to get in saying that shit?
More times than I can count. I know
How
that.
How many times did we get detention for that shit?
A lot. I think we have a lot of our permanent record that we need to blame on D-Generation X. And I think we need to, like, somehow some way get that sponged. I mean,
yeah,
I think
sponge it now. I'm a dad with 5 kids, so guys, I come
and,
on.
And now. Then, like, if they do sponge it, hey, Judge, thank you. I mean, no. Hey, Judge, I have 2 words for you. She's expecting thank you, and you just do the suck it and run out. D-Generation X starts playing in the background.
That's awesome.
But speaking of a member of D-Generation X, we have a little bit of other news this past week that actually happened on Dynamite. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang is no longer...
So then that should be our new podcast name, the Bang Gang.
The Bang Bang.
Bang the Scissor Bang. Gang.
Oh man, I know we had a good laugh about it last week, but it's always funny when you say it.
I can't
it's
even
just
say
hilarious.
It. You know I got a slight lisp.
You got that Cody Rhodes lisp?
Slightly. Ever since I got my tongue pierced. Like
oh, yeah.
Like it's been bad, but that's been like 12 years ago.
But yeah, the bang bang, bang bang scissor gang.
Is a gang. Ooh, I like that.
That featured the Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed. But last night, Jay White had a one-on-one singles match with Darby Allin, in which at the end of the match, when Jay White defeated Allin, he ended up having Colton and Austin Gunn start beating him up even more, to which the Acclaimed come out to make the save on Darby Allin. Not just the Acclaimed, but Daddy Ass, who is Billy Gunn. They made the save, and unfortunately, Colton and Jay White and Austin, they turned on Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed, so that stable is now no longer.
Bang bang, scissor gang.
I think this is the most fun that we've had with a faction or tag team or anything of any sorts for name wise since WWE tried to pass off the Banger Bros with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus as a tag team. It's like they should have known, especially when you have Pat McAfee making some references of that on live TV. So it's like, yeah.
I love that, bro. Oh my god, you just like punched me in the face with Pac Man. I love that motherfucker. I love his show. Oh my god, and dude, I live literally 2 hours from that motherfucker.
Guess what? His entire show. I don't know if it's true or not. Rumored to be DLC playable characters in 2K24. We're talking AJ Hawk, Pat McAfee, everybody else. Yes. Like anybody that's there in the studio that's like names.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen the game plan the gameplay of it, honestly. I haven't seen much of it.
Do I buy GTA 6 or do I buy WWE
2K24? Dude, it's gonna be another 10 years between $20
games.
Dude, it's gonna be at least another 20 years before GTA 6 comes out, dude.
I've been watching a lot of shit lately, and I'm very, very confident in saying it'll be in the next year and a half to 2 years. Complete done.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I know 2K24 released a lot more new game modes, but I really haven't seen much for gameplay wise. But yeah, usually I'll make my decision usually shortly after the fact that I see like the first patch or so, the first two patches or whatever for bugs. Then I'll make my decision on it. If they're still patchy, still not fixable, I might pass on it, but. It's still going to be a good game.
The Xbox game. I almost did. I still think I might go back and buy it because now it's going to
be. Don't sleep on it because they also have a season. They have like a season pass too where you can unlock, I think, certain characters or stuff like that. But that's the way they're doing it. They said that they don't want to make a lot of games, they want to make one game and have downloadable content, which is actually smarter in the long run because you don't have to keep releasing games. You'll make more money
for that too as well.
Exactly, microtransactions. You update it, yep.
But that's where you need more memory at, right there. So whatever company's making the memory card, they're going to fucking charge arm and a leg for 4, 5, 6 terabytes.
Yep, and it's like that they constantly do new seasons on it and stuff like that. I haven't played it in a while, but it's actually pretty decent. The story mode's all right. But you don't get to create like any entrances or anything like that. There's really no entrances.
I love doing that.
And it reminds me a lot. Mode.
I always made my own shit.
And the creation zone is a lot limited too. But I don't know if that's going to change within the next couple of years or whatever of it being out. Maybe you get some updates for that. And then I know it plays a lot. It feels a lot like No Mercy, and it feels a lot more arcadey more than anything. If you want more realistic, if you want more realistic, you'd play 2K. If you want more like nostalgia, you'd play AEW Fight Forever. Because it plays like an N64 game back in the day, but it's not the graphics or anything. It's like the same thing. Like I literally had to go into my control settings and switch it from like the controls that they had more than 2K control settings because I was getting it mixed up with my 2K controls.
All right. So
but since
I'm looking for the game I had, cause it's really good. Cause we talked about this, like the last two those, and I still haven't found it, and it's like driving me crazy.
I mean, since we are on the subject of AEW, I know we talked about a lot about their new signings and especially with Mercedes Moné joining the women's roster. But do you see sometime, I won't say soon, but I would say by 2025, probably around this time, 2025, do you see AEW doing some type of brand split? Because right now,
What do you mean? Like that? Like half
like
TNA?
how the Like how, you know, you remember back in the Attitude Era when we just had Monday Night Raw. There was no SmackDown.
Hey,
It was just
hold on,
one,
hold on.
everybody fought.
2 seconds exactly. Monday night. What'd you say? What the?
Monday Night Raw. I can't see. Oh, that, I can't think of that. What's the name of it? That's
Warzone.
yeah, Warzone. Yeah,
WWF
yeah,
Warzone. That was it.
yes. Yes,
That was the
I
shit.
remember Warzone.
That was
I
the
remember
shit.
that one because I remember Stone Cold was on the the front of it. I remember, I was like, I can't
That was the
remember.
one I
Because I
had.
thought it was, cause for some reason I thought it was No Mercy for some reason, but I remember that Stone Cold was on No Mercy like that.
That was the only wrestling game my mom would buy me.
But yeah, going back to the brand split, like having it like it is, you know, like how we had only had Monday Night Raw, and then after a while the roster became oversaturated and you weren't getting this talent exposed and you weren't getting the matches, so they needed to have that second brand with SmackDown. Do you see that happening with AEW,
Well, you got to
especially now
realize
that their
how new.
women's rosters are getting a little bit bigger too?
You got to realize how new they still are. Because if they try to branch out and they branch out too far, dude, that whole bridge is just gonna
Well,
crumble down in the middle.
you
There's
also look at it too. They also own Ring of Honor too. So you already have another promotion and
I
you're
did not
already
realize that.
cross-pollinate, you're already cross-pollinating the two. Why not just, I mean, as much as I have nostalgia for old time watching Ring of
I like
Honor
the
at
old school
2 a.m. in the
shit, yes,
morning,
but
just I'm
let's
glad
change
that
it up.
Tony Khan bought it. How about have one brand be called Elite and one brand become be called Honor? So
Dude,
on like Wednesday night Elite and then
hey,
Friday night
Tony
Honor,
Khan,
or
calm down, calm down, calm down, Tony, calm down, Tony.
hey, Tony Khan does. I
I
don't do that.
mean,
Tony Khan's
it's okay.
the
I mean, to each their own, but
snowman.
that's not for me.
Why else do you think he looks like Phil Spector when he was on trial with all those crazy wigs with just his hair and how it is now?
Hey, to each their own. I'm not mad at you. We live and
But
learn.
yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, that could be possibly something because, like I said, Ring of Honor is underneath that AEW umbrella. I mean, it wouldn't be that out of hand to think of that. And plus, with since you do own Ring of Honor and you cross-pollinate between the two, you have a shit ton of championships already between the two promotions. We don't need that. We can probably cut about half of those out, share it between both brand, between both companies, and have one be one brand and one be another brand.
Yeah,
That
and
way.
then you could also do like the Monday Night Raw tag team,
Yeah, exactly. Like
or Friday, Friday the Monday.
the unified tag team
Yes,
championships where
yes.
yes.
Or the
But it's
United
like,
States tag team, whatever.
yeah, exactly. And I don't know if like, 'cause you know, Ring of Honor, it's hard enough to find as it is on TV. 'Cause you have to go to your local channel and you have to go right after your local news
I'm gonna
at
be
like
honest,
11
I don't
o'clock
have
at
local
night.
news.
Exactly.
I
It's
look
like
that
you
shit up
have
on
to
my
find
phone.
that. Yeah. And it's like you have to find it to watch it. And then
I
it's
haven't had
like
cable in
it's
like
hard as hell.
15 years, so.
Yeah. And then it's like then they force you to buy Honor Club, which is not, you know,
Which.
bad if you're like a hardcore Ring of Honor fan. I'm
Yeah.
thinking, you know, why not just branch it off to the two? You still keep the Ring of Honor name or just shorten it to Honor or whatever and have that as your second brand. I mean, it's not perfect for right now, but it'll do. And I think
But
that's
it'll, I
honestly
think
how you.
eventually that bridge will come across. If they do that right, it'll
Oh
be perfect.
yeah.
It
Because
might
you could
even
do
be.
like you could do like an invasion style too. Even though you do own both companies, you could do like where Wednesday Night Dynamite, you know, comes over sends somebody over, sends a few people over to start feud with somebody from Ring of Honor, you know, and vice versa. Because I don't think it'd honestly be that hard because AEW has a contract with Turner Broadcasting, which is TNT and TBS. It won't be that hard to get another 2-hour programming block on TBS if you need to. What's that going to do? Take away from Big Bang Theory? Reruns. Take away from Seinfeld? Reruns. Taking care. I mean, yeah, I love Family Guy, but that's all you're showing. Reruns.
But actually, he's.
That's two hours right there that you can have.
McFarlane, right.
You know, it's just you can like, buy that's them, 2 hours.
But you got to realize.
The only thing that's new comes on at 10 o'clock, and that's Impractical Jokers on like Thursday nights. It's like.
But you got to realize the owner. Like, there's a lot of money that goes along with all of that. Moving all that shit around. There's a lot.
That's true. It's easier said than done. Yes. Yeah. Because it's also fucking with the actors' paychecks for their residuals, too, that they get.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like
a trail on that. But I understand that would be awesome. Yeah, like if they
would be
do that.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
In the next 10 years on
TNT, they air Collision. I do believe. Why not just move your second brand? See if they can adjust your time slot because I think Collision's on at like 10 o'clock at night. Adjust the time slot to about 8 o'clock at night. Throw it on a Saturday. Boom. Well, I could see why too, because TNT does show the NBA.
Yeah,
and NHL now too. So,
I mean, they just
it's a lot of shit. Thing.
It's a lot of politics and
it is money. Well, Tony Khan's got money too. So if he really wanted to throw enough money at him, be like, hey, I don't care how much you guys are losing. Here's this much to cover it. How much for a time slot?
Right.
We're gonna move into some other wrestling news, not really noted, not really like involving one company. We got some free agent news with Shelton Benjamin and Elijah. Elijah was known in the WWE as Elias, and also his brother Ezekiel.
He's been reading the Bible on TikTok lately, which
I've seen that. Dope.
I like that.
I seen that he was on live or something.
I'm curious, what is that? Is that like a gimmick or something? Because if that's a gimmick, that's kind of hitting low. But I mean, I understand, I guess. But I'd rather it not be a gimmick. I'd rather it be his actual self.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know if it is.
Yo, Nick, I lost you. Sorry, guys, another tech problem, man.
Calls now.
Hey, Nick, it just froze for like 30 seconds.
I know, I was trying to keep it going. I don't know if it picked up my audio or not, but yeah, I got it. Okay. Yeah, it usually
I was trying to text you. I'm like, fuck. I was
like, yeah, no, I've seen it. I said something.
It was like panicking over your anxiety.
Hopefully it recorded my stuff, but yeah, like I was saying that. Yeah, I would say I like the idea of having Shelton Benjamin on AEW's roster more than I would like to see Elijah on AEW's roster, because I think with Shelton, he's still got a little bit more left in the tank, but he's still a decent mid-card draw. And I think if you book him correctly, you could have him pushed a decent. You could have him, you know, maybe with a mid-card championship even. And I don't think you'd have that big of a draw if you were to sign Elijah, because I see Elijah as a low mid-carder slash jobber, and I'm not going to pay that much money for a low mid-card slash jobber.
Right.
No disrespect to him as a person, but I just don't see his draw as a wrestler.
I think Shelton Benjamin is honestly better than Elias or Atlas or
whatever he wants to call his name now.
Whatever he wants to call himself, I could care less. But I've always been a fan of Shelton Benjamin, though, because I've watched him since I was young. He always teamed up with like Evan Bourne, which I loved that motherfucker. Airborne.
Oh, he's still wrestling. Evan Bourne's still wrestling.
Holy,
you know what his name is? His name's crap, it's on the tip of my tongue. Hate to look it up because it's on the tip of my tongue. It's I can picture him. This is embarrassing in a way. because I know it. Matt Sydal. That's what his name is now. He's wrestling in AEW and Ring of Honor. Yes. Still wrestling. Wow, still high flying, too.
What the fuck? Why have I not really even realized that? That's wild.
Yeah. But I could also see, since Shelton Benjamin is getting up there in age for an in-ring competitor, I could see him taking more of a Dustin Rhodes type thing, a Dustin Rhodes deal too, where he'll fight every now and then, he'll have a match every now and then, but he's mostly backstage working with the talent, helping them get better, helping them progress in wrestling.
I could see
because
that.
he does have an amateur background in wrestling. So, I mean, it's not like he can't help teach, you know. He's got the grapples. He's got the holds down. I could see him doing something like that, too.
I could see both of them doing something along those lines. But, yes, I'd be – now that I could see it happening for both of them, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. That would work.
I mean, I know that they don't have much like their own in-house training like WWE has with the Performance Center, but I know a lot of like guys like Dustin Rhodes, some of the older veterans who have these wrestling schools actually take them in and train them a little bit more. It's just something I would like to see, I think, Shelton do. But, you know, it's all up to him, though.
Right, yeah, it's all up to the It's whatever they got to do.
And it's not just that, too, but it's just, like, whatever, like, you also got to take into account, too, that Shelton Benjamin was, like, one of the most underrated wrestlers in WWE.
Dude, they you're not even him. Wrong. You are
they
not
underbooked
even wrong.
Him, and I would just like to see
both
him.
Both times he was in WWE, they underbooked
him. Yeah, it's like, he was so underbooked, and especially later on in his career, they teamed him up with Hurt Locker, but Hurt Business. And
that was stupid. Just, let him do his own.
Yeah, it's stupid. And it's like, I miss the old school Shelton Benjamin back in the day, you know, when he was getting these, you know, championship runs and stuff like that. And he never held the WWE championship. It's like, I need to see him with at least a decent championship before he retired.
He had the United
States
Championship.
He did have that.
Continental Championship.
But he never won the main
one. He always had a tag team somehow.
Oh, yeah. He was part of Kurt Angle. Oh, yeah, Kurt Angle with Team Angle, too.
Yeah.
With Charlie Haas. So it's just like, the dude can wrestle. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He was a national champion at Minnesota with Brock Lesnar. And to see him not win anything big, and to see that Ohio Valley wrestling class that he was part of that had like the likes of Batista, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, all win big-time championships, and you're left with the United States.
Right. I would have been pretty pissed off, and I would have been like, fuck that, I'm out.
Exactly. So for him to put up for it as long as he did too, I mean, I would love to see him hold at least a decent championship in AEW. I don't know if it'd be the big one, but I would love to see him hold like maybe the International House of Pancakes one. that might be pretty cool because I'd hold that over more prestige over than the TNT because of how many times that thing's been passed around since COVID era.
Yeah.
All right, Jabber Nation, we have one last segment for you guys on this newly revamped Jabber Club podcast. We are bringing back the old segment, which we used to have on our original Facebook page, where each week we did a Jabber Nation Jabber of the Week. But we will be doing it on the podcast this time. Each week will probably be someone different. I don't think we will have two back to back because we're doing it a little different than how we used to do it. We used to do it by past WWE and WCW jobbers, historically, like the Brooklyn Brawler, things of that nature. We have decided that we are actually going to do one each week from just the matches that happened over the week. And we're going to see if there's a jobber that we think of that is worthy of it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a jobber. It just has to be someone that puts somebody over. It doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing. I know when everybody hears the word jobber, they instantly think of someone that gets put down in like 3 seconds. No, it could be if someone had, a match where they put somebody over just to put them over, just to give them some momentum. We could put them down as a jobber. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone that got their asses kicked. So, with that being said, though, I would like to announce this first ever Jobber Club podcast, Jobber of the Week. And that would go to none other than Adam Priest, who made his AEW debut in a loss against Nick Wayne on last week's Dynamite. It wasn't a match that was going to turn any heads. It wasn't, a match in which he had a chance to win. I mean, right away, you're going to be booked to lose, especially when you're enhancement talent right off the bat. But it helped progress the storyline, and it made Nick Wayne look like an absolute beast, even though he's not.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Darby Allin and Sting. The way that last tag team match, he was a good jobber. It wasn't like he did anything bad in that
He
match. He
helped
helped
put Darby
put
over a little bit more.
he helped put Darby over, but Darby also helped Sting end his
Go out on
career
top.
in the way he wanted to fucking do it.
All right. I could
Like,
see it. Yeah, you took it a different way, but yeah, I mean
I
that's a good
mean.
way to take it. I mean, yeah, because we always throw jobber around as such a negative term. And it doesn't have to be, it just has to be that one
You
person
just
that
answered my question I
puts him
had
over.
about an hour ago, so cool. I
It doesn't
just
have to
clicked.
necessarily be, it has to be someone that actually put somebody over, or if you want to mean it as a derogatory term, you could say it like, hey, this is the dude that has absolutely dog
I mean,
water
I
this
think
week,
he like was like, here, you know what? You're one of my favorite people in life. We're gonna
Exactly.
let you go out on your terms, but I want to kind of step up and,
Exactly. So
make
it's just
my name known. Jesus Christ, that's a lot
And
of
yet,
adding.
pres and let preserve and yet preserve the legacy that Sting built too.
Yes.
And I think that's what, honestly, I mean, I know that, like I said, with this Damian Priest wannabe with Adam Priest, like what he did, man, he helped push that storyline with Christian Cage and Adam Copeland. He helped further that along. So I mean, he did his JOB for the time, and he helped push over Nick Wayne a little bit more. I mean, not saying that Nick Wayne, like I said, is like this great wrestler, right? He's still learning, but he's doing good for what he's doing. I think with him fighting someone that was brought in as an enhancement talent was actually a good way to make him actually look better than what he really is. And for that, I think Priest definitely earned his paycheck that night, and he definitely did the JOB. And I think that was what made him my pick for Jobber Club podcast, Jobber of the Week for me. And like you said, you had Sting with Darby Allin for a different
Well,
reason.
I got Darby Allin with. I'm gonna put Darby Allin
Okay,
with.
Darby Allin. Okay, Darby Allin with Sting. Okay.
Yes. So
you
Because
got that one.
he's taking a legend and letting him go out on his like go out on
His
his
own
own terms.
terms and in his own
And
way, yeah.
he has that. Like, yeah, I let him do that. Like whatever,
Yeah, exactly. You let he let him he put him over to go out on top.
Yes.
Where
Yeah.
in this day and area with this like especially with this day and age, excuse me, with this day and age, You don't see that a lot in wrestling companies, with especially with a tag team championship or any championship. Yep. You don't see that guy going out on top. You always see them usually losing and not going out on top. Even in retirement matches in general these days, it's kind of rare to see that person go out on top. The one that comes to mind was Kurt Angle's retirement match where he lost to Baron Corbin. That was the stupidest retirement match ever. If Kurt had a different way to redo it, I think he would have. Definitely. I think
that was a stupid match.
And I think honestly it probably would have been with Cena more than anything. Because him and Cena had that long rivalry back in the day.
I like that. That shit had me laughing. I'd be watching old school shit sometimes. And that old school shit just has me laughing my
ass. Some of those promos had me laughing my ass off too. Oh man, but that is about all the time we have this week for you, Jobber Nation. Like always, you can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/officialjobberclubpodcast. If you can't get that link, it'll be in the description like always. Or you can find us on Spotify, just search Jobber Club Podcast. Face, where can they find you at?
A bunch of different places. Give me 1 minute. I should have just had this pulled up, but I didn't have it pulled up. So.
Oh, you're good, man. You're good.
I'm half asleep over here. Just kidding. So you can go follow me at facegaming_13, TikTok, Twitch, Kick, Instagram, Discord. The Jabba Club also has a Discord. We're still trying to put that together. I mean, if you guys yes, are fans, you, yeah, if you guys know how to do Discord and DM us and talk to us and maybe help us out with some Discord shit, that'd be awesome. Because I'm still trying to learn this shit. But
I am too. It's all just right, like, guys. That is what we want to do, is start getting that Discord up. It'll be a lot easier for us to communicate.
It'll be a lot easier for me because I'm kind of over. I'm not going to lie. Facebook is awesome. Like, it is. But I feel like Discord is kind of more where it's going to end up at, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, I like Facebook for what it is, but I only stay connected to family on that. And Discord is, like, all my shit is right there.
Yep. All right, guys. So until next time, we will see you guys later. Peace.
Peace out, Girl Scout.